Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Wildlife Rescue League, our focus this morning. We're going to talk about animals. And at this time of year, we all have questions about seeing things or what do we do, who do we call? And we've got the answers for you. The Wildlife Rescue League, Carolyn Wilder is here this morning from the Wildlife Rescue League. Carolyn, it's great to have you here, and thanks for getting up and coming from Northern Virginia to visit with us today.
Well, always a pleasure, Ted.
And Karen Brace is here, and Karen, it's never just Karen Brace. It's just never just Karen Brace, because it's Karen and Sweet Pea?
Sweet Pea the Possum.
Sweet Pea the Possum. Who is crawling all over you? And she's a what do you call her? An education possum?
An education animal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so we'll get in and we'll hear her story and talk about that too as we go along. Carolyn, for people who don't know, the Wildlife Rescue League. You're based in Northern Virginia, but you come down as far as Fredericksburg over to Fauquier and really provide a lot of great services in help people with animals.
Right. We are a virtual organization, so we don't have an office or a center yet. That's one of our goals, is to build a center in Northern Virginia. But we have a helpline, so people call from all over the state, from all over the country, if they happen to Google us and ask questions. And we have volunteers that return calls from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. during daylight savings time. And we either can provide advice like, you put the bunny back, it doesn't need help, or yes, it needs help, here's the name of a rehabilitator close to you, mm-hmm. or if it's injured, we have a couple of partner vets that will take it in, assess it, treat it, and then we pick it up from there and get it to a rehabilitator. So we answer questions from all over the state, but it is primarily Northern Virginia coming down to this area.
WildlifeRescueLeague.org is the website that has all kinds. It is a great website, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
It has all kinds of information. And the number is 703-440-0800.
Correct.
So that's the helpline. But you really can get a lot of information by just going to the website.
Right. In fact, we just posted a video on the main page of our website on how to reunite a baby squirrel with its mother. And so, you know, we can talk about that. And we're trying to do a few more things like that. It's helpful because we can refer people directly to the website if they call, or mm-hmm. our helpline volunteers can refer them there and say, this is all the information you need to try to reunite. Because obviously it makes more sense and is better if the squirrel can get back with its mother, or, you know, as opposed to going into rehab. Yeah, our rehabbers are great. You know, Karen's a rehabber. They do everything they can, but obviously the parent is the best source for taking care of its baby. And
yeah.
You're kidnapping it otherwise. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do, is better inform the public on how they can do that.
The website is great because you have really every animal. You mean all kinds of animals, skunks. I mean,
yep.
Who knew?
Who knew?
But you can click that on, and you can find out information. And I think we do all sometimes run into these situations. You want to do something, but you don't know what to do, or you don't want to do the wrong thing, even though you're trying to do the right thing.
Correct, yes. And, you know, so we have the website. We have, you know, the helpline, because you can always call the helpline. If they don't have the answer, they can refer you directly to a rehabilitator who can answer the question. Sometimes we get some unusual questions that our helpliner may not have the expertise for. We also go out and do presentations to garden groups, school groups, after school programs. So that's another way. You know, my personal goal is to inform the public on when something needs our help and when it doesn't. Because as you said, we often think if it's on the ground, it must need our help, and that is not necessarily true. And so, you know, by letting people know that in this situation, you can watch it, but it most likely doesn't need your help, and leave it alone, because that's the best thing for it.
I've learned so much from you too, and especially the fact, because I always thought if you touch something or you get around it, all of a sudden then the mother will have not want anything to do with it. And Karen, right away, you've always said to me, "Nope, that's not true."
Especially birds. Birds don't have a sense of smell, so
right?
That to me, yeah. When you told me that,
they can't
that was
smell human, you know,
scent.
Yeah, human scent on their babies.
I said that's always been the myth your mother told you.
Yeah.
So that you would put the bird, you wouldn't touch the bird and bring it home.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
That's why.
That's why. As a rehabber, Karen, are you as busy as always these days?
Not yet, knock on wood. I only focus on possums now because of the store and everything else I have going. So last year I didn't get my first passel until the beginning of April. So they're coming.
They're coming.
They're coming.
I see them out around, just even coming in early morning. They're moving around. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the store, over on you're over on William Street.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it, just in case anybody is unaware of what you do.
Well, actually, we just had a very important special anniversary. March 5th was the store's one-year anniversary already, if you can believe that.
No, I can't.
Yeah. So the store is called Possum Abilities, of course. We have all sorts of really fun nature and wildlife-related gift items, fun socks, challah purses, handmade soap. I've got about 18 local artists who display their stuff. So there's all sorts of just amazing local art, everything from acrylics to pottery, jewelry, all different kinds of things. And the part that most people generally are interested in is the fact that there is one of my education possums in the store Friday through Monday. So you can come in. We're usually open if you shoot for 12 to 5 Thursday through Monday. We're open a little bit later Friday and Saturday, but 12 to 5 is a you know, all 5 days we're open 12 to 5. And one of the possums will be in the store. We do the second Sunday of every month for those of you out there who have young children. We do possums for reading. It's kind of a play on the pause for reading with the therapy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in conjunction with Fred Parent Magazine. The second Sunday of every month at 11, we read books and then do crafts. There's a possum there. So that's fun. That's possums for reading. We also do all sorts of other educational events right at the store. So the store is 211 William Street. It is actually co-located with the Sweet Sheep Candy Shop, which is on the first floor. And then you go in the candy store, up the stairs, and I'm on the second floor.
211 William Street, Possibilities. We are talking Wildlife Rescue League in animals this morning. Karen Bryce here, Carolyn Wilder here. When we come back, we'll talk birds. We'll do that on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Karen Bryce is here. Carolyn Wilder here. The Wildlife Rescue League, our focus this morning. So, Carolyn, the birds.
Yes.
Let's talk birds. And that's always the one. You two taught me I didn't realize that if you've got a nest on your property with eggs, you can't move that.
True, 99% of the time. Most birds are protected by the Federal Migratory Bird Act, which says that a nest with eggs or babies in it cannot be destroyed or removed. There are a few birds in Virginia, starlings,
sparrows.
Certain English sparrows, that are considered invasive nuisance species, and so those are exceptions. But I can tell you that most people can't tell the difference between an English sparrow and any other. So you're
I'd
not
have
going,
no idea.
No, me either. And so, in fact, our vets can't. They have to send a picture to our rehabber, and she says this is what this is. But so basically, you're not allowed to destroy a nest if there's eggs or nestlings in it. We often run into problems where people have wreaths on their door and the birds will build a nest in the wreath, or hanging flower baskets, they'll build a nest in the basket. And there are ways you could perhaps move the wreath a little bit, like onto a wall instead of the door, but it can't be moved very far. You can water your basket with ice cubes, they recommend, so you're not drowning them.
Yeah.
But you cannot destroy the nest. You just have to wait till they, and it's only a few weeks. You know, they hatch, they're in there, they're naked, they're blind, and then they get feathers, they get out on the ground, they start learning to fly, and then you can destroy the nest as much as you want.
Okay, so I was going to ask you, how long does it usually take if you see the eggs there? So
just a few weeks.
Weeks,
I think.
Okay.
I think it depends on the bird.
Sure.
But yeah, like I said, once they're out, because once they get most of their feathers, they either jump out of the nest or the mother pushes them out, and that's when they are called fledglings. And that's really when we get a lot of our questions. We get questions about nests that have blown down because of the winds that we have. And we will try to talk people into how to either get the birds back into a nest if they fell out, or get the nest back into a tree, or build a substitute nest, you know, using a hanging basket thing, mm-hmm. or other things, to try to get the mother back with the babies. So we try to get them to reunite in that way. If you can't, then we obviously would refer you to a bird rehabilitator. But once they're on the ground, hopping around, I always say it's like Snoopy in the Peanuts cartoon.
Yeah.
Those are fledglings. And fledglings are supposed to be on the ground. They're learning to fly. And that's when people kidnap them the most. Because it's like, but they're on the ground. They're not supposed to be on the ground. Yes, they are. Oh, but there's cats in the neighborhood. There's dogs. There's, you know, kids. There's foxes. It's like, it's nature. And the mom and the dad are in the tree, and particularly if it's like a blue jay or something like mockingbirds, they will attack you if you try to take their bird.
Oh,
their
blue jays certainly will.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, you know, we have to tell them, watch from a distance. You're going to see the parents come down feeding that bird on the ground. It's okay. They're defending it. A lot of times they'll listen to you, but a lot of times they'll say, nope, gotta kidnap it, gotta take it to a rehabber. And that just postpones its ability to learn to fly. And, you know, you're basically bird napping. You've just taken this bird away from its parents.
Yeah.
But we just have this innate sense that it needs our help when it doesn't.
And that's sort of, whenever we get together and have these talks that I learned from you both, our heart sometimes is in the right place, mm-hmm. but we just don't have the information.
Right. And we don't realize that we could be doing more harm than good by rescuing something that doesn't need rescuing.
The wreath story, that to me is just fascinating. And since we talked about this a couple of years ago, was the first time I'd ever heard of it. I've heard all kinds of people or people will reference, I've seen people even on Facebook reference things that you said in talking about this. It is a real problem, I think, with people that have wreaths on the door and all of a sudden this time of year are having to deal with stuff.
Right.
And you just like, what do I do? And like you said, there are some things you can do, but in some ways, sometimes you can't do much.
You know, if you're in suburbia, you know, we'll say, go through your garage door instead of your front door until the birds fledge and leave. But if you're in a townhouse like I am, there is no garage door. And you just have to be really careful going in and out the door. Or you take your wreath down during nesting season.
Right.
And that way, you know, I mean, my neighbor, that's exactly what I told her to do. She took her wreath down and, you know, waited until June or July and put it back up.
Right.
You can also move the wreath to, like, right next to the door on the side of the house, so you're not opening, you know, they'll be able to find it if it's in very, very close proximity to where it was. But you can't take it and move it around the side of your house or
down the street.
Here,
care. Let's let the neighbor have it.
It's got to be close because moms won't find those babies.
Right.
Well, this seems like the time of year in the past, I know, where you start, like I would go out to my shed and all of a sudden you see a nest or two mm-hmm. that's been built in the shed that you didn't even know about that a bird's gotten in. So this is the time of year you start seeing these kinds of things. And I guess this is the time of year for where you're going to find eggs in a nest.
Right. And this is also, you know, the eggs, the nests are a little bit later, I think, probably closer to May, April, May time. You will see some now. Now is when you're seeing the squirrels and the bunnies. And then later in the summer, you'll be seeing the fawns. And those are the things that people tend to rescue. The other animals, the possums, the raccoons, the foxes, it's not so much rescuing them as wanting to know how you can get them out of your shed or out from under your deck.
Yeah.
People aren't as interested in rescuing those things as they are in rescuing these. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a different issue.
Well, and especially, you would see it certainly in Northern Virginia and even around, we'd see it around here with growth. Animals have fewer places to go now.
And they adapt very well. They do.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
I've often told you the story about people complaining about foxes or things under their deck.
Yeah.
And Jen Toussaint, who's the head of the Arlington County Animal Control Office group, would do a presentation about ways that you can persuade a fox to move her kits to another location. So you have to make it inconvenient or, you know.
Uninhabitable.
Yeah, uninhabitable. And she talks about, you know, lights, you know, flashing lights and playing radios there. But she said, Mylar balloons are the best. If you put one up in front of where they go in and out, mm-hmm. it's blowing around. And she always said Dora the Explorer and SpongeBob SquarePants were the ones that seemed to be the most effective in dissuading foxes or raccoons from staying. And they all have multiple other locations to go to. You just have to give them the time to move the kits. But yeah, I always loved that one.
Well, it is. It's great. Going back to your website for just a second, wildliferescueleague.org. So much good information there, and so many animals because we all deal with these kinds of things, and there are some rules, but then there are just some of the do's and don'ts, and in most cases, like you say, we. Nature will take care of things.
Right.
We don't always have to.
Right.
But we want to.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. I'm glad that people mm-hmm. care enough about wildlife that they want to help it. It's just they sometimes have to learn that the best way to help it might be to leave it alone and just get it to think about moving on its own.
Again, it is wildliferescueleague.org. You mentioned squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
And... squirrels are a tough thing.
We know they're your favorite.
They are just a tough thing.
People there's love so them or hate
many
them.
There's so many of them. And that's,
yes.
And you're right. People love them or hate them. You know, when they're raiding your bird feeders all the time, or they get into your house in your attic and they gnaw on the wires. Yeah, people don't like them then, but they're so cute. They're just so cute. They're cute.
See,
I mean, I wouldn't
you
want
thought them. She was your friend, but she's not.
But I also don't bring them in and cuddle them either. Okay?
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
But I love watching them running up and down the tree or lying on a branch when it's hot with their legs all splayed out. You know, they're fun to watch. But they, you know, there are a lot of them.
Reuniting squirrels. We talked about that. You mentioned that at the beginning. How does that happen?
So again, because of the storms we have come through this time of year.
Yeah.
The babies can fall out of the nest. The nests can blow down. The mothers have multiple nests, so it's not, you know, they are in better shape than some of us. They have second homes, third homes. and so often they will move the babies if the first nest gets destroyed or blown or gets full of fleas, you know, rather than exterminating, mm-hmm. they just move. So they have multiple nests. But if the babies or the nest fall out, there are things you can do to try to reunite. And we have this video on the website. But basically, the primary thing is that the babies need to stay warm. So you're going to if you find them on the ground, you make sure that they're warm. So you can pick them up with gloves, because mammals do have a sense of smell, so you don't want to handle, plus you don't want to get bitten. And then you can put them in a box with a towel, soft towel. You can put a rice sock that's been heated in the microwave. So it's just a sock with rice in it. Put it in there beside the baby so the babies can get near it but aren't going to get burned. And then you leave it out there for several hours and wait for the mom to come back. You can also, there is a YouTube video, and I think there's a link maybe on that thing, but otherwise just Google baby squirrel sounds or something.
Baby squirrel cries. Usually, yeah.
And you can put like your phone or a Bluetooth speaker out there and play that. And if the mother is around, she's going to hear it. And what she'll do is she will come and take those babies one at a time to her second nest. Could take several hours. The main thing is the babies have to be kept warm, because if the babies are cold, she's not going to take them. So you may have to be going out and reheating that rice sock. You do not leave them out all night. You bring them in at dusk if they have. Ideally, she will have come before then, or you will have called a rehabber by then. But you don't leave them out overnight because of other predators. And then you can always go out the next morning, try it again. Mm-hmm. But at that point, you know, ideally, you've done it for several hours during the day. And if she hasn't come back, if something has happened to her, then you're going to contact our helpline, and we'll refer you to a rehabber. But you want to try to get the mom to come back, because we run out of rehabbers because there are so many squirrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're fed every, what you used to do squirrels, every 2 hours.
It depends on the age they come in, but yeah, every 2 to 4 hours.
Yeah, it could be every 2 to 4 hours, 24 hours a day. That is a lot of work.
Mm.
And if you have 20 or 30 squirrels that you're rehabbing, you get full, you can't take anymore. We're having to send squirrels farther and farther away to rehabbers, and they're all full. And there's 2 seasons of squirrels. So it's like you get getting them now, and then you start getting them late summer. We have people that are getting baby squirrels in October.
That's why there's so many of them.
That's why there's so many of them.
They are just everywhere. WildlifeRescueLeague.org. Again, the animal the hotline number is 703-440-0800. And you said 9 to 7. There's someone there monitoring the line.
Right. You call in, you leave a message, they'll call you back with information.
Carolyn Wilder is here. Karen Brace is here. Wildlife Rescue League, our focus. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good talk this morning, Wildlife Rescue League. Got Karen Brace and Carolyn Wilder here. Carolyn's with the Wildlife Rescue League, wildliferescueleague.org. Karen is our local rehabber, and every time comes in and brings a possum, and we're now Sweet Pea comes from where? Spotsylvania?
Spotsy. Yep, she's a Spotsy girl.
She's a Spotsy girl. What's going on in the possum world these days with rehabber? You said it's slow right now, but
right. Last year I got my first passel of possums, baby possums, which are called Joeys, in April. So that's about average time to start see them. Usually I get babies if mom is hit by a car or attacked by a dog. Sometimes we find singles in people's yards. Mom's walking across, you know, as once they come out of the pouch, because they're marsupials, they start to ride around on mom's back. And if mom's walking through a yard and she gets startled and a dog or a human or something startles her, she'll take off running, and sometimes the babies will fall off the mom bus. And she's not going to risk her life or the life of her other babies to go back and get that baby. And besides, they can carry up to 13, and possums can't count. So they might not realize that they've lost one or two. So the homeowner goes out in that evening or the next morning, and there is a little baby possum hanging out by itself in the yard. And if they're under a pound, they should still be with mom. So people bring them to rehabbers, and then like the other animals, we raise them and always try to get them back to the wild.
So here's a question, because you reminded me, because Carolyn said it a few minutes ago about calling a rehabber. How do I find a rehabber? How do I find you?
So the easiest thing to do, well, there's two. You can call the Wildlife Rescue Helpline, which I don't know if you've given that number, but it's 703-440-0800. And they can put you in touch with me. They have a list of all of the rehabbers in the area. Or you can go to the Department of Wildlife Resources, which is our Department of Game. They just renamed it a few years ago. And look up wildlife, and then you can find a rehabber by county. Obviously, that's for Virginia. If you are out of state, you can go to the Humane Society of the U.S. website and find a rehabber by state.
Okay. One of the more fascinating shows we ever did was you and another rehabber talked about. I don't even remember who the person was, but the person talked about actually transporting when you run into getting
that was
animals.
Lori, yeah, my transporter.
Right. And she talked about going, you know, over to Stanton and over that way, Waynesboro, Stanton, and that area. There's a lot to being a rehabber.
There is. And Lori isn't actually a rehabber. She's actually a transporter. And again,
yes,
all this is volunteer. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think that rehabbers get state and or federal money. We don't. It's a labor of love. So having people like Lori and, you know, WRL has a whole host of people that transport for them is extremely important, because last year I had 30, 35, you know, possums that had to be fed every 4 hours. Well, the closest wildlife center to me is Blue Ridge Wildlife Center in Boise, which is 90 minutes away.
Hmm.
So if I have an animal, either one of my education possums or a rehab animal that has to go to Blue Ridge, that's minimum 3 hours just there and back, not including the time it takes for them to examine that animal. So that's 4, sometimes 5 hours out of my day that I would have to take and go to Blue Ridge.
And if you're taking care of some other possums, what do you do?
Exactly. So having people like Lori and the other transporters that will come pick up those animals, bring them to Blue Ridge, wait, and if the animal is treated and can come back, sometimes they either have to be euthanized or Blue Ridge will keep them if it's a more of a severe case. But if the animal comes back, then they turn around and bring that animal back to us. That is just an invaluable service that they're providing to rehabbers.
I will point out that WRL does not do that. Our transporters pick up from vets and shelters to get them to the rehabbers, or they will pick up from one rehabber to get it to another rehabber.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not pick up from the public. There's too much liability that we don't have enough transporters. We have the public get the animal to the rehabber or to a partner vet. So that then we can pick up from there. But you know, when you have a rehab, some rehabbers do have their own transporters that will do exactly what Karen's saying. And it is a great service, mm-hmm. but they're basically working with that one rehabber.
And if a person's interested in becoming a rehabber, you go through a lot of training to be a rehabber.
It is. Carolyn and I were actually talking about that last night. It's hard to get rehabbers because not only is it a lot of training and a big commitment, but there are certain things, certain requirements that you have to meet even before. You know, you have to pretty much either be a stay-at-home mom, be retired, or work from home. Because how can you feed something every 2 to 4 hours if sure. you work outside the house 8-10 hours a day. So there's that restriction. You have to have a room in your home with a door, like a spare bedroom, an office that you can dedicate to wildlife, something that children or domestic pets can't access. So you have to have that space. If you rent a house, you have to have permission from your landlord to have little tiny wild babies in your house. So even before we, you know, I get people all the time, hey, I'm interested in becoming a rehabber. I hit them with those, you know, three things. Do you work outside the house? Do you have space? And, you know, what are your, time constraints? And then if we get through all that, then you need 6 hours of continuing education. You have to apply, you have to find a sponsor. And not just a rehabber who is sponsoring you, but a rehabber who's willing to sponsor you, who works with the species that you want. Mm-hmm. I had a wonderful gentleman reach out to me a few months ago, say, hey, I'd love to get into wildlife rehab. And he's in Spotsy, so he would have been relatively close to me. And I said, well, what species do you want to work with? And he said, well, I really love squirrels. And I'm not doing squirrels this year, so... You know, I couldn't sponsor him because I don't have squirrels on my license. So I passed his name off to another rehabber. He's her apprentice, so it works out great. So you have to find somebody who is licensed, who's willing to sponsor you, who works with your species. You get all that done. You apply to the state of Virginia. You have to have a home inspection, I guess, to make sure your house is...
That you have your special room set up. And,
right, and your house is...
requirements and all of that.
Clean enough to have wild animals living in it, I guess. And then if you get through that process, then you can start to take healthy orphaned animals from your sponsor. And then from there, it's pretty much you have to have continuing education mm-hmm. every year, but you pretty much work with your sponsor and it's hands on. So it's a process. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hoops and a lot of things you have to go through.
And a spouse who thinks it's a good idea.
And if not just a spouse, but your whole family has to be on board because
as the amount of time that you're having to spend dealing with those animals.
Yeah.
Now, as an apprentice, you take what you can take. You know, it's really important with anything in life to set limits. Not that I practice what I preach, but
I was just going to say,
Carolyn was again lecturing me last night when we went to dinner, that maybe I'm not the best person to talk about, lecture other people about setting limits. But, you know, even as a rehabber, it's really important because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't take care of however many animals. And, you know, most rehabbers, we know that, oh, it's baby season, just buckle down, we'll sleep in the fall. And there's some truth to that, but you also have to set your limits. But as an apprentice, you take what you can handle, and that's up to your sponsor to not just dump a bunch of animals on you. So,
well, thanks what you do, because you've got what you're doing and are just really committed to all of this. Before we get out of here with some more, you've got some events going on at the store and community events for possums and stuff, and so we're going to talk about that. Before we get out of here this morning, Carolyn Wilder, also here from the Wildlife Rescue League. Deer.
Okay, so it has always been against the law to rehab adult deer. I'm not sure what the legal reasoning is, but the practical reasoning is that it would be very difficult to catch an adult deer that's still mobile.
Yes.
Dangerous. And if it's not mobile, chances are it can't be rehabbed anyway. So that's, you know, we've dealt with that over the years. Fawns have been able to be rehabbed in Virginia, except for the fact that there is something called chronic wasting disease, which is, they talk about it, it's similar to mad cow disease, okay? It's transmitted through fluids, so saliva, blood, mm-hmm. you know, spinal fluid, whatever. And it's very communicable. It's not actually a disease per se. It's called prions, and it can be in the ground. I mean, if they throw up on the ground, those can last. Lots of yucky stuff to talk about there.
Right, people are eating breakfast.
Do what? Yeah, especially when people eating breakfast. But the point of it is, once chronic wasting disease has been found in a county, the state, the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources, goes in and they basically call that a containment area to where you can no longer rehab fawns in those counties. There are probably 20 counties now in the state. Just this last month, in March, the county of Fairfax, Arlington, Prince William, and the city of Alexandria have been added to that containment zone.
So it's growing.
It grows every year. I thought we might have another couple of years before it got there, but all it takes is for one deer to wander into another area.
Sure.
It gets hunted, shot, they take it for inspection, they find it has CWD, and that's the end of that. You all in this area are not yet affected, but you need to be aware it's probably another year.
Yes,
this is going to become part of the containment area, I suspect eventually the entire state. That means that when you find a fawn in your yard, okay, and we've talked before about the fact that mom has a baby and she places it somewhere, usually while it's still dark, in the grass, beside the house, sometimes on a deck, someplace she thinks is safe, and she tells that fawn, stay here, do not move, and don't make a sound till I come back. And fawns listen much better than children, and that's exactly what they do. And mom comes back twice a day, dawn and dusk, to feed the baby. She doesn't hang around because she will attract predators. The fawns don't have a scent yet, but
yeah,
mom does. So she doesn't hang around with them. People find fawns in their yard and they assume they're orphaned, okay? So the first thing we tell them is they may not be orphaned. You need to wait at least 24 hours. And if that fawn has moved around a little bit, if it's quiet, then you know it's being fed, life is good. If it hasn't moved at all in 24 hours, because it has to stand up to nurse, so it's going to have moved a little bit. It may start walking around. If it hasn't moved at all, if it's crying incessantly, then it's possible that it has been orphaned. If it has flies on it or something, then it's in really bad shape. But just being orphaned but still healthy, then normally that's when we would step in and say, okay, we can rescue this fawn, get it to a rehabber. We can't do that now.
Right.
So we have to do everything that can be done to get the fawn reunited or adopted. And so what I have learned over the last couple of years is that there are the fawns tend to be in a herd. There's siblings, there's aunts, other does that hang around with it. And there is a specific YouTube video. Unfortunately, it's used by hunters. I've found that out. But it's called Fawn in Distress.
Okay.
Now, it's not Hungry Fawn. It is Fawn in Distress. And if you pull that up, you Google it, which I did, you get to hear this hunter talking. But then you will hear this fawn crying.
In distress.
In distress. And if you can play that loud enough, close enough, don't put your phone down there because it could get trampled, but if you have a speaker or something, if there are other does in the area, there is a good chance they will come and they will take that fawn. Because if nobody comes and the mom is dead, we can't do anything about the fawn.
Yeah.
And then the fawn is going to starve, or the fawn is going to be, have a predator find it. And unfortunately, our hands are now tied. And we have not yet had to deal with this on the helpline, but I cannot imagine how people are going to handle the fact that we have to say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do.
And you can't because of the law.
Because of the law. And so we're going to be promoting very hard the idea, do everything you can to try to get that fawn reunited or adopted, because your other option is not good.
Carolyn Wilder is here. Karen Brace is here. Wildlife Rescue League, our focus, wildliferescueleague.org. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Wildlife Rescue League this morning. Karen Bryce and Carolyn Wilder here, wildliferescueleague.org, 703-440-0800 is the helpline if you've got questions and all that kind of stuff. Before we get out of here, Karen is with Possum Abilities on William Street, and you always have things going on.
We do.
It is a store that I hear all kinds of people will say, do you know the Possum Lady? And I said, yes, I know the Possum Lady.
I hear it called the Possum Shop. Oh, have you been to the Possum Shop? So it is Possum Abilities, 211 William Street. My rescue is Awesome Possums. And we partner with a lot of different organizations. We have one event in particular coming up Sunday, April 16th from 1 to 4. We are partnering with Fredericksburg City PD, Spotsy, and Stafford County Sheriff. We are going to do Possums and Police for Parents. It's sort of like a resource fair. The best thing to do is, if you're interested in any of our events, go to Awesome Possums, and Possums is POSSUMZ.com. There is a tab where you can go for upcoming events. We're going to be at the Osprey Festival in Colonial Beach, April 15th. We are partnering with Bad Truck Pottery on Kings Highway in Stafford. We're going to do a possum pinch pot party.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, April 17th, because, you know, I love to do these events back-to-back to wear myself out. Lawton from Bad Truck Pottery is going to teach us how to make literally you just pinch clay and make little animals out of it. We're going to be at the Earth Day Festival, April 22nd. We have two local authors of kids' books coming into the store, Rachel Turlop and Carla Ray Jansen. And I have to brag, Ted, the possums were personally invited to Fredericksburg Pride this year, June 24th.
Okay.
Possums at Pride. We're going to have t-shirts. I'm going to get you one. It's going to be Possum Pride t-shirts.
Wow.
You're going to love it.
Okay. Carolyn, we don't have much time, but you mentioned at the beginning that Wildlife Rescue League, you're a virtual organization, but I know that you're looking to expand and do many more things. Yes. We'll have to talk about that in the fall, but there are things, there are ways that people can get involved.
Right. If you're interested in volunteering, like I said, we have transporters. Helpline is done from home, so you can be on our helpline and live anywhere in the state or out. We also have a lot of events that we do tables at. So if you're interested in tabling, we've got like 6 events in a week over the Earth Day, you know, week stuff. We also, you know, have social media. We do marketing. We have fundraisers. So if you're interested in volunteering with any of that, you can just call that helpline number and leave a message, and somebody will get back to you about what the opportunities are, or you can go to our website and look under the volunteer tab.
WildlifeRescueLeague.org, 703-440-0800. And just like I said, just a lot of great tips. If you're dealing with an animal in your yard, or you know of someone, direct them to WildlifeRescueLeague.org, 703-440-0800. Possibilities, 211 William Street in downtown Fredericksburg. Carolyn Wilder and Karen Bryce, thank you both for what you do, and we'll get together and talk soon. See you in the fall. Thanks for coming. We'll see you soon.
Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.